Welcome to Retirement Reimagined, a series of conversations exploring the latest FNB retirement survey and what it reveals about the average South African's preparedness and attitude towards retirement. In each episode, we delve into the survey findings and examine interesting themes, including how second careers and entrepreneurship are becoming important components of retirement planning. We take a realistic look at the financial requirements for a comfortable retirement and the obstacles preventing us from taking action to meet our retirement goals. I'm Maya Fisher-French, personal finance journalist, and today I'm joined by René Coughlin of FNB Wealth and Investment to examine the retirement realities for South Africans over 60, exploring their perspectives on retirement readiness. So, René, one of the stats that really kind of jumped off the page for me out of the survey was this trend that people over the age of 60 are now less prepared for retirement than they have in previous years. And I think even more added to that for me was the fact that people over the age of 60 are less confident about their ability to retire than those under the age of 60. I think that's important for us to unpack. What's going on here?
I think it's very reflective of the harsh realities that people are facing under 60s and over 60s, but I think over 60s even more. So if you think about you're already in retirement now and you don't sort of have a plan B, the harsh reality is that your pension income that you thought would get you through is probably not keeping up with inflation to start with. And then also we're experiencing spiraling food prices. So just your everyday living essentials, your groceries, your fuel, your medical aid expenses, as well as your insurance expenses are going up by a lot more than inflation. So I think people living in retirement now have to face a very harsh reality of the income that you thought that was going to get you through retirement is just not going to get you there with all the costs and expenses that you're going to see.
Yeah, I think that is such an important point because there's this number, right, called inflation. And all the retirees write to me because, of course, what often, so either they may be, for example, at the living annuity where they have a drawdown, or they may be on a fixed guaranteed annuity. And they're saying, well, people are saying inflation's 3 or 4%, but my bills, my medical aid, my electricity, all the medical costs, all of these things are going up by 10-15% in some cases. And this is really, really hurting people. Also, do you think that there's an element of many people going over the age of 60 whose children are still at home that they're still supporting?
Absolutely. I think there are a lot of people who are still looking after their children and also subsequently grandchildren. So for grandmothers and grandfathers who are either having to pay in for daily care for children or looking after them themselves, or also having to sponsor university education or educational needs that parents just can't keep up with private school fees that are also going up 10-15% per annum as well. So I think that's really putting a pressure on a lot of our retirees is looking after multiple generations.
And I know you and I, we've discussed some of these figures before, and you said to me for some retirees when in the survey, some of the responses that you got was, it feels like a moving target. And I think that's so true.
Yes, every day is sort of looking at what do I need to do today, what do I need to do tomorrow, just to sort of keep up with things. So I think that spiral as well, where every day you're just trying to keep up with life and making sure that you're staying on track, it puts a lot of anxiety on people as well. So between the under 60s and the over 60s, we see these massive levels of anxiety around just not feeling like you're prepared enough, and also that you just didn't do enough during your lifetime to get to a good retirement.
And I suppose that moving target is both the cost of living, that's just this endless moving target, but also having enough at retirement, because a lot of that does depend on the returns that you expect from your investments. And one thing we do know, unfortunately, in South Africa is returns sort of over the last 10 years haven't really lived up to expectations. How do you think that's impacting retirement outcomes?
That's definitely had an impact because we see a lot of people getting to retirement, and I'd say probably at about age 55 to 60, a lot of people for the first time start thinking about retirement only then. So for the last 10 years, they may have been investing, they may have made regular contributions, they may have a great pension fund, but it's only when you start getting to 55, 60, do you actually go and sit down and really look at it. And it's usually then when we're looking at the returns that we've received over the years that we go, maybe we should have been doing regular reviews. So I think that's an important lesson for everybody. If you're under 60 or even over 60, you need to regularly go and have a look at your portfolio. I saw many, many customers who didn't look at their insurance, didn't look at what they were paying for on their medical aids, didn't look at what they were paying even on something like homeowners insurance. 3 years down the line, you look at your schedule and you think, well, I don't even own most of these assets anymore, but I'm paying insurance for them. So regular reviews of your portfolio, you need to make sure that you're actually getting the returns that you need to meet your goals. So it's important to look at what returns am I getting in different portfolios, making sure you've got a diversified portfolio, not just sitting with a savings account, thinking a savings account will get you to your retirement goals, because that's highly unlikely with the rates that we're seeing and with the expenses people are going to be facing.
Renee, I actually want to pick this up quite strongly, this idea of regular reviews, because I've actually just been writing an article about this. You know, somebody got to retirement, thought it would be this amount, because that's sort of the amount that he remembers someone mentioning once upon a time. And you really, really, really need to be doing these reviews. And my mom's in retirement now, and I go through her policies and I check up, and exactly that. I'm saying, but mom, did you know that this insurance escalated to 15% per annum, and we need to go and get a shop around and get another, you know, especially on short-term insurance, all of those things we do. And I think that's probably the best advice we can give people, is to keep reviewing and checking your money. Don't just assume that everything's just on track.
Absolutely. And also doing a rebudgeting exercise. So I also learned a very hard lesson with my mother-in-law, trying to help her rebudget when your budget is already so tight. But there were still small things that she could do. So for some reason, she had 3 funeral policies. And she was paying each one of those because she'd taken them up over time, and she just never ever looked at the statements that came through, and she just paid year on year on year for lots of different things that she didn't actually need. So rebudgeting is hard. You know, when you think about having to look at your own budget and give things up, giving things up that you really enjoy is a hard exercise, but looking at the things that you actually want versus the things that you need. So making small little sacrifices, even if it's a small amount, will actually have quite a big impact. So if you're giving up things for 1 year, and you look at the returns that you can get on just investing an extra 100 rand per month, it actually makes quite a fundamental difference over a much longer period, like a 10-year period leading up to retirement. So I said, rebudgeting is key. For myself even, I sit every year and I look at my budget again and say, what can I possibly do? I almost look at it like a challenge to see what more can I squeeze out of this.
I know, but sometimes it does feel like we've tightened the belt a lot. But even, you know, when I sit with somebody who says, oh, I've tightened the belt as much as I possibly can, you know, one of the things I pick up is bank fees, for example. Instant payments. I actually did an article about it as well. That, you know, people don't look at what their banking is costing them and how much they can really do to bring down banking costs. So sometimes it is in the unconscious money that we're not perhaps keeping an eye on. But I want to ask you this question, Renee. You know, we've spoken about people over 60 suddenly coming up and saying, wow, retirement's a lot more expensive than we realized. What advice can we give to those people who are now past 60?
So I look at, like, the first thing is around grocery spends. So if I go and I shop at a particular place, I know that I earn rewards back. So I go and I look for all the rewards programs I could possibly use, because I know it's going to save me money, or I'm going to get something back at the end of the day, and I'll have more that I can allocate out of my budget. Something as simple as, like, for our seniors, there are many places that have seniors discounts, but a lot of people don't know about them. So every place you go to, my mother-in-law actually asks people, do you have a pensioners discount? Do you have a discount card? Are there special days I can go shopping on?
Wednesday at Clicks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very good one. And you can go get all of your toiletries there on that particular day. Fuel spend as well. So looking for rewards where you can get fuel spend back. So those are the first things that I would look at, to say you can at least go, and sometimes you're not able to free up the cash, but you're able to get something back in some way. If it's cash back or getting rewarded by points that you can then use for something else. So many of our seniors customers that we engage with during the year at some of our retirees functions, we try and just educate people around all these different rewards points and what you can actually do with them. And people are generally amazed, because they were just not aware of them. Or, as you say, things that you don't often pay attention to are the smaller things, like policy fees. So having multiple policies probably means you're paying multiple policy fees. So I would say read the fine print. So actually go through your policy schedule and see, what are all those line items? Just as when you buy your groceries, you should still be checking, have I actually paid for everything that is on this till slip? Are there things there, or they're missing? But also looking for those small things that you can make from an adjustment perspective.
Very good advice. Again, it's all about going and looking at the small details. But I wanted to end off with is, we've spoken a lot about people over 60. There are many people listening right now who are saying, oops, I'm 55, I'm 50, I'm coming up to 60. What should they be doing now to prepare themselves for retirement?
I would definitely recommend just having a full portfolio review. And there are a lot of people out there who say that they are doing this themselves. I'm a financial advisor myself, and for many years I gave advice to customers. And what I find is, as a professional, you often don't pay attention to your own portfolio. So I actually got myself an advisor. And it's strange, you think being an advisor, why would you need an advisor? But it was actually a critical change for me that I thought, I actually need somebody else. I need their expert guidance. I need a second pair of eyes on what I'm doing. Yes, I might have done things over the years that I think were the right things for my portfolio, but my advisor is actually more of an investment specialist than I am. And he looks at my portfolio every year and he makes sure that we rebalance and we reweight it according to what's happening in the market. So just having that expertise and guidance. And a lot of people feel advice is still a little bit inaccessible. So it's almost like it's difficult to get to an advisor. It's difficult to get professional advice. And a lot of people are put off because they think it's an expensive thing. They say, this is going to cost me money. But there are also a lot of educational tools online. So you can find calculators online where you can go and have a look at how much do I need to retire with. You can calculate how much should you be saving towards your retirement. You can look at how much can I replace of my income right now. So there's all these online educational tools. You can find amazing investment checklists that actually say these are the type of things that you should be looking for in your portfolio. So if you aren't using an advisor, at least go and have a look for this type of self-education, and you will be better off in the long run.
And I think it's also important, and this is a sort of discounting the future that I see, especially with younger people, is they underestimate what retirement will cost them. And I think we've discussed that right up front. I think that's the big disconnect between a person over 60 and a person under 60. The person over 60 is now actually facing the true real cost of retirement. Somehow when you're younger, you think, oh, my older self won't really need any money. I'll just live at home and do nothing. I'll sit and knit. I don't know. You still want to live. You still want to have a life. Your retirement costs are probably going to be a lot higher than you've given yourself, you know, room for. And I think that is possibly also where the advice element can come in, or speak to other people who are in a retirement about what it costs them to live.
A lot of people think that when they retire, they're going to be able to live off 5,000 Rand, 10,000 Rand
so
a month.
True.
That's just your medical aid expense.
Exactly.
So I see a lot of people are under-preparing themselves, thinking that I'll be able to live off 50% of my current income. I've actually done an exercise recently where I looked at the disposable income that people have right now and what are they spending it on, and then looking at the disposable income of our over-60s segment in our survey. And the expenses are more or less the same. So it's not as if your budget is massively changing when you are over 60. And the expenses where you think, oh, I can give up certain things and I won't be doing things like buying corporate outfits for my day job. I won't be traveling to work anymore. But you'll find there are other expenses that are eating up the same amount of money. So now I always look at 70s to me are like the new 60. So 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds that are retiring are still wanting to live a very fit, active, healthy lifestyle. You're spending more money on looking after your health, nutrition, doing wonderful experiences, traveling a lot more. So, I mean, I look back at my grandparents. They never left South Africa in their lives. Then I look at my parents who were able to travel when they were they retired. So it's a completely different lifestyle that you're going to be leading. And one big thing that I warn people about now, just thinking about retirement, is where are you going to live when you're retired? So you might think that you're downsizing, but the property prices are just going up so dramatically. Oh,
we were talking about exactly this. I promise you, to retire in a retirement village is more expensive than what you're going to be able to sell your house for.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And there's additional costs. So we don't think about the costs of having medical care within retirement villages, having caregivers, having frail care, and also emergency expenses. So you might have medical aid, but there are other medical expenses that could crop up that are completely unforeseen. And if you don't have those important emergency savings that you can quickly draw from, you'll find yourself eating into your retirement capital to pay off medical expenses for maybe specialized surgery or specialized equipment that you never thought you were going to need.
Sure. Renee, I think we may have made everyone very depressed by the end of this. I feel a little bit depressed, but I think the takeout for me is, don't underestimate retirement. Don't think that you're going to get to a point and you're going to be too old and not want to enjoy life and you can kind of discount your future. I think start to be realistic. We have in previous episodes spoken about second careers, the opportunity to work longer. And I think it's time. You know, if you are under 60, listen to this and understand that, you know, you're going to want to live a full life when you are in your 60s. I promise you, you will. I'm not that far away from it, Renee. I'm ready to live a full life. So I think let's be a little bit more realistic about our futures. So thank you very, very much, Renee, for that input. And thank you to those of you listening. If you want more information on the FNB Retirement Survey, you can find it on the FNB website and in the link below. Now, if you have been listening to us and you're saying, well, you know, I would love to be doing more for retirement, but why does planning for retirement feel so challenging? You must join us for our next episode, where we're going to unpack the financial and psychological barriers that prevent us from securing our financial future. So tune in.